Good morning, everybody. This is Judith A. Cope. You're listening to Mad Love. Let's get into it. So, it's been eventful. My sister got here on Friday. My mom was actually very, very good on Friday. Very friendly, very nice. She was trying to host a little bit. It was nice. And she went to bed. She wasn't any problem. And I kept saying, this is weird. I'm just letting you know, this is weird. She does not normally, it's not normally this easy. Then Saturday arrived, and she turned into the demon that she normally is, and there was punching and yelling and scratching and, all around the bathroom. It's just this crazy toddler from hell experience. You know, she does not want to put on her Depends, or she doesn't want to put on a pair of pants, or she wants to put the Depends over the pants, or she wants no pants or no Depends. And then, you know, it's like you're going to soak the bed through and through. It's just a lot of work, and it's all the time. And it's, well, obviously not all the time, because she'll have a day where she takes a day off from being demonic. And it's weird, but it's consistently weird. You know, it's consistently hostile. And my sister got punched a couple times. I've gotten scratched. I try to position myself where I won't get punched. And she just chooses violence. And I think I'm talking about it as much as I'm talking about it because, A, I think that's part of the traumatic brain injury. She had started to become more violent before she fell, but really has got, taken it up quite a bit since the fall. But also, no one talks about this stuff. And it's like, unless I'm just missing it, I mean, I'm out here pretty deep in this world. I'm constantly Googling things, trying to find solutions. You know, this time last year, we had just started using CBD because she wasn't sleeping for many, many hours, you know. And I'm not a hero, and I'm not trying to be, noble. I'm trying to find solutions because I have to get sleep. I still work full time. So it's like I can't be, up with her like this all night. So, of course, I was happy to try CBD. And it does help stabilize her mood. It gets rid of a lot of that anxiety. And I think ultimately, you know, what people are going to come to understand is this falls on you because you can't afford any other health options. And this is not a poor people problem. Let's be clear. If they start talking to you about low income and then it's not that. It is not that at all. If you wanted to put your loved one in a facility right now in St. Louis, Missouri, those facilities start at memory care at $6,000 a month. And then they have all these other things you can add on and do. Some of that stuff gets up to $7,000 to $8,000 a month. A month. So this is not a poor people problem. This is a almost everybody problem because there's no place for you to go. You can either do Medicaid. And Medicaid is got all these rules. It's run differently from state to state. So you got to figure out what the rules are for your state. And you can put your loved one on it. But if they go into a facility, the government will take all of their Social Security payment and then leave them $50. $50. Who can live off of $50 a month? You know, it's just insane, and no one is talking about it. And I don't know if Medicaid offered more help or more expansive help, but the cost of Medicaid does not keep pace with the cost of memory care. And so that's why most of the memory care places don't accept Medicaid. But I'm not sure how they're going to afford to be able to do that because there's not going to be enough people who can just pony up $8,000 a month. You know, like I told you guys, I have a neighbor who was paying $10 for his wife, you know, and now he's paying even more than that because she lost use of her legs and they kicked her out. Imagine that, $10,000 a month, and they are selective about who they can help. It's just insane. It's insanity, and no one is trying to fix it, you know. And I'm trying to share as much of what's going on with it for my family because I'm a regular person. I'm just regular. I work full time. I have dreams and goals and things I want to get done like everybody else. And this thing is just dominating my life. And I figure it's happening to me because I'm not the type of person who won't say anything. You know, I'm not complaining and I'm not a victim. But I will say this, I'm a blabbermouth. I'm going to tell everybody, you know, because I think people should know. And I don't want other families to just stumble into this thing and realize, oh my God, I got to take care of my mom or my dad or both, or my uncle or my aunt or both. This is coming for a lot of families. And we're going to have so many more old people and there's no help. That's this myth that there's all this help. I can't tell you how many people have, you know, called me, texted me. Oh, you know, you should talk to my so-and-so. She's a social worker. There's so much help. It's not. If you've been dealing with this for quite some time, like I have, there's no help. What you need are people to come in your house to help you take care of your loved one that are affordable, that have been vetted by the police, that have a background check on them. Because, you know, that's what you need. You need professional people who've been trained in this. They know how to deal with Alzheimer's patients. You know, I have one caregiver and she's fantastic. If I could afford to bring her in every day, I would. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things, man. There's not a lot of help. People seem to be under the impression that, you know, they're building all these senior buildings and you'll just be able to dump your parents there because it's not that big of a deal. But it is very easy to exhaust $200,000-$300,000 in one of those places. And your family members are living longer. So they may outlive their wealth, and they certainly can outlive their brain. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I'm just extraordinarily frustrated. And I'm just saying, you know, just spent the weekend. She was punching both of us. My sister got punched more than me, but you have to learn. After a while, it's like, if you want to walk around in urine-soaked clothes, I'm just going to let you because it's not worth it. So anyway, that's that right for now. And I hope that you guys will continue to like and share this podcast. Put it in the hands of people who can make a difference. Maybe if Joe Rogan starts talking about this, or LeBron James, or somebody famous, it'll start to sink in that regular people will not be able to afford this level of care. And it's problematic. Joe Biden needs this level of care. He doesn't seem right. Neither does Trump. Excuse me. A lot of people in their 70s and 80s right now are beginning to really have difficulty masking their cognitive decline. And some of them will have dementia and some of them will have Alzheimer's. And the biggest distinction that I can tell between dementia and Alzheimer's is, with Alzheimer's, they literally cannot remember anything in the short term. And it is the same questions over and 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 over. It's horrible. It's just like that. Annoying that was over and over. It's like that. Ugh, it's like torture, man. I think if you really wanted to break some people, put some Alzheimer's patients in a cell with a criminal, he'd give it up in a minute. Okay, I'll talk. This is torture. And it is. So, anyway, the Super Bowl is coming up. I'm not excited. It's my least favorite football game of the year. I missed watching football this weekend. As you can see, I'm a little sleepy. I got sleep last night. And my mom didn't really move around that much. One night she was up constantly, but... And I think when she doesn't sleep, that's when she gets violent. But she wasn't like that last night. I got a fair amount of sleep, just tired in general, I guess. So much going on, very, very busy. But I'm excited. I really feel like this is going to be a good year. I feel like a lot of things are coming to an end that need to come to an end. I'm tired of so much corruption and laziness and, you know. And I'm going to be honest with you. Jay-Z's speech was fascinating, so I don't want to forget that. I'm going to write it down. I want to talk about that. But have you guys ever talked to, like, a liberal person? I mean, like, a real person who calls themselves a progressive, especially if they're white and you could tell they never really met a lot of black people. It is wild. I don't understand how they're not being called the racist that they actually are. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I feel that way. This is not something I've seen on TV. It's not something I've read about. I've actually had these people in my face, and the way they talk to you is so insulting. It's not like they're trying to help you because they care so much about the plight of black people in Black History Month or any other month. They talk to you that way because they think you're too stupid to figure out how to help yourself. And in one instance, I could look at my resume and I looked at the background of another person, and I had more my education lapped that person's, and the only thing is they were born rich and I wasn't, but that money gave them the privilege of being progressive and just a nightmare of a human being. Nightmare. And rude, and it's like, oh, you think black people are stupid. That's not helpful. It's like, you want to help us because you think we're too dumb to help ourselves. That is not help. And it's insulting, and it's happened more than one time. I'm on my fourth or fifth one that has looked me in the face and talked down to me because I'm black. That's racist. It's racist. I know racism when I see it. I just don't see it everywhere. And you all know on this podcast, it's not something I just point out all the time because it makes me angry. Everybody thinks everything's racist. Maybe you're in your own way. Maybe you're the problem. But sometimes racism is there, and it's real. And the textbook definition of racism is believing you're superior based off of your race. And I've had that happen to me. I think I'm on my third or fourth, maybe fourth or fifth person who has looked me in my face and talked down to me. And it's just beyond insulting. And they're talking down to you under the auspices of, quote unquote, helping you. Yipes. So that's problematic. And that's part of what I hate about Black History Month. I'm going to be black next month, too. What are you going to do for that, you know, month? And then you see all these big companies getting rid of their DEI programs, and reneging on all the promises they made about, you know, George Floyd died. He didn't die in vain. We're going to make all these changes. And ain't shit changed. It's just fun to have these conversations, right? It's just fun to say the words. It doesn't have to mean anything. You know, it's like when they tell you they love you, but they just want a text from you. Wait a minute. I don't think you really love me. Sort of like that. So anyway, Jay-Z did a very bold thing on the Grammys. He basically called the Grammys out. I will say it is weird that Beyonce has won more Grammys than anybody, but never Album of the Year. But he decided to air it all the way out. If you get a chance, there is a snippet of his speech on YouTube. It's fascinating. He was winning an award for himself. And, it was just a weird thing to do. I don't pretend to understand the dynamics of their marriage. I don't pretend to understand that the reasoning behind that. Because he just put the whole industry on blast, the Grammys on blast. And it just feels like people are tired of playing ball, but he's in the same group that Sean Combs is in. Excuse me, he's Sean Carter. You know what I mean? Like, y'all run in the same circles, and you can see what it's doing to Puffy to be, you know, going against the grain. I strongly believe he said something or did something that put him in the crosshairs of the group. You can call it the Illuminati, you can call it the elites, you can call it whatever you want. But there's clearly some sort of eyes wide shut shit going on. And for whatever reason, Jay-Z decided to invoke it with his wrath. And, you know, I get it. I am not a huge Taylor Swift fan. I respect what she's done. You can probably find a blog posting from me in 2010, like, why is she so popular? I didn't get it. but I haven't been getting it. It's been a long time, but she's had a huge career and good for her. I think we're in a time in history where it's hard to say you don't like somebody without it turning into something more. She's not in my age group. I'm not her target demo. And the young people, well, I know somebody who's in their 30s that thinks she's great. And I guess she was a fan when she was in her 20s. You know, and it's great. I think it's great that she's had this career. And I know this wasn't aimed at Taylor Swift, but I do think, you know, they have a hard time when you try to label and categorize music, that a lot of times the biggest record is going to be going against different genres. And Beyoncé has always squarely been a soul artist, an R&B artist. And no matter what you think of her, no matter what you think she had to do to get where she is, all of the stuff, that none of that matters when you think about it. She's had one of the hugest careers ever. And it is odd that she's never... Lemonade didn't win? What beat Lemonade? What beat Break My Soul? Listen, forget about how you feel about her music. It's huge and it's everywhere. And she's as close to like what Michael Jackson famous was as anybody around today. You know, people were trying to say it was Bruno Mars, but no, it's Beyoncé. Everybody knows Beyoncé, your granny to the grandbaby. Everybody knows Beyoncé. So it is weird, but it seemed odd that he just blew up the spot like that. You know, he even said something like, some of you will go home and feel like you were robbed tonight. Some of you will be robbed tonight. Some of you don't belong even in the categories to be nominated for Album of the Year. It was like, damn, Jay. So I don't know. We'll see. I believe it was done on purpose. I believe he had a message he was trying to send that was probably over our heads. But yeah, he chose violence. And I hope, well, I don't know Jay-Z. I don't know his family. I don't know what's real. I don't know what they're presenting to us. I don't know. But if he invoked something, I hope that he's ready for that. Because I think the whole point of all these power structures is there's always somebody that needs to be reminded that they're not in control, that they're not the boss. And Sean obviously thinks he is. So we're going to see. So it should be interesting. I did not watch the Grammys. I'm happy for Tracy Chapman. I'm glad. I never realized she'd never performed at the Grammys. But yeah, I would say even though that record was huge, that was back in the days of George Michael and Michael Jackson and Prince. Like, there were a lot of Janet Jackson. There were a lot of people that had to hit the stage. And maybe they didn't want to play that tremendously downer of a song, Fast Car. And it is a downer of a song. But in those days, you had to listen to the songs that they played on the radio. So I know all the words. But I'm tremendously happy for her, because she's found a whole new wave of people to listen to the song. And that young man has padded her pockets big time. And good for her. Right? She hasn't had a hit record in since 1988. I did see her live. She opened for Sting in the early 90s, and she was fantastic. People thought it was funny because I'm not a huge Tracy Chapman fan, but she has one song off of a record called Crossroads that I really like. It was like her second, her second album after the Fast Car one. And Crossroads is one of my favorite songs. I still listen to it. So good for Tracy Chapman. That's about it for me. Jay-Z chose violence. My mom has chosen violence. One thing about people, we are violent, but not at Mad Love. I love everybody. And I'm grateful for the support. I'm grateful for the listens, the likes, the shares, the subscribes, the 5 stars. We're still growing small but mighty on Showtime. What am I talking about? Spotify. Appreciate you for listening wherever you listen. It's been a good run. 7 years. This is my 7th year doing this podcast. We're going to grow. We're going to make some changes. We're going to do things differently. But I do want people to understand I am very committed to caregiving, and I'm very committed to helping your family understand the nuances and the challenges that will be presented to you when this comes your way. And it may not be dementia, but you will have to care for your loved one, because I'm telling you, the hospital system and the insurance system, they're not there for you. If your loved one has a chronic illness, there will be a lot of care that you will have to administer in your home, and hopefully you'll have a team of people to help you. But it's something to think about, and that's what I want everybody to do. Think about it. Make a plan. Have an idea what you're going to do. You do not want this to sneak up on you, and you look up and you be like, wait, I wasn't expecting all of this. That's why we're here. Here to help. Because I got mad love for everybody. All right? Take care of yourselves. Be your best. Let's meet back here as soon as we can. Happy February the 6th. Let's go.